You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, you already know the good news. The United Nations formally adopted the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons.
That was Elaine White Gomez, President of the United Nations Conference on Nuclear Weapons. The treaty in question would commit signatories to disavow, and eventually destroy, their stockpiles of nuclear armaments. The vote was boycotted by several countries who either have weapons or maintain close alliances with those who do. Supporters of the treaty argue its opponents will eventually fall into line with the international community, as was the case with other forms of now prohibited weapons. For more, I spoke with Dr. Linton Burford of Christchurch's Disarmament and Security Centre, and asked him, what is it that makes this treaty different?
What we have here with the treaty to prohibit nuclear weapons is really a historic development. It breaks a 20-year deadlock in international nuclear disarmament, because the previous treaty that was what has previously been referred to as the cornerstone of the international nuclear non-proliferation disarmament regime, basically it commits the countries that have signed that treaty to achieve nuclear disarmament, but it doesn't set in place any way of actually working towards that goal. And so there's been this debate going back and forth about how to do that. But the result is that for the last 20 years, we've gotten precisely nowhere on disarmament. And so what this treaty has done is it's filled a gap in that previous treaty, and a gap in international law more broadly, which is that until the 7th of July this year, there was no explicit ban on nuclear weapons in any form of international law. And that was really unusual because there's a whole range of other weapons that the international community has banned, because they're indiscriminate and inhumane. Indiscriminate in the sense that they don't discriminate between civilians and military personnel, and inhumane in the sense that they cause, you know, horrible suffering to human beings unnecessarily. And so in that category, you know, we have chemical weapons, which were used to horrible effect in World War I, biological weapons, anti-personnel landmines and cluster munitions. So all of these weapons types were banned under international law precisely because they were indiscriminate and inhumane. And yet, until just a few days ago, nuclear weapons were not banned. And so what we've done here is we've filled that legal gap. We now have a binding international legal instrument, a treaty, that says categorically there is just no legitimate excuse for any country to have these weapons, for any country to use these weapons, or for any country to threaten to use these weapons. So it's really a historic development, and it moves us just one step closer towards nuclear disarmament. Of course, you know, this treaty in itself is not going to achieve nuclear disarmament overnight, but it's one step and a vital step on that path. What happens now is the 122 countries, including New Zealand, which played a very strong role in bringing about this treaty. Our ambassador for disarmament was a vice president of the negotiating conference. Those countries take the treaty back to capital, and then they sign it, and then the next part of that process, ratify it. So the treaty will open for signature on the 20th of September this year, 2017. And so I would very much hope and expect to see New Zealand signing up to that treaty as soon as it's open for signature, and continuing to play the strong leadership role that it has in this process. What this treaty does is it establishes a legal norm, you know. So a norm is an understanding, a common understanding about what appropriate behaviour looks like. And so what this treaty says is there is no appropriate behaviour relating to nuclear weapons other than getting rid of them. Now, that didn't exist before. So there's 122 countries adopted this treaty last week. And for those that haven't signed it, what that means is that whereas previously there was nothing in international law that said, you know, you can't use nuclear weapons or you can't threaten to use nuclear weapons, now we have a very clear statement from almost two-thirds of the UN membership. You know, two-thirds of UN member states have said categorically that we fundamentally reject any excuse for using or threatening to use nuclear weapons. So what that does is puts enormous pressure on those other countries that haven't signed it and that do support nuclear weapons. For example, you know, the United States, Russia, China, US, France, and then all of the non-official nuclear weapon states, Pakistan, India, Israel, and now North Korea, is it puts pressure on all of those countries to move towards disarmament. So even though they haven't signed it, it will put enormous political pressure on them, and particularly the so-called umbrella states, that is, the states that are allied to the nuclear powers and say that they shelter under the nuclear umbrella of those countries. So I think particularly in this regard of Australia, for example, which claims to be protected by US nuclear weapons, but equally South Korea, Japan, the NATO states. And so even though they haven't signed it, what you'll see is that there will now be enormous pressure on those countries to withdraw their support for US nuclear weapons policies, because 122 countries so far, although they haven't signed the treaty, they did vote for its adoption at the United Nations. And that will put a lot of pressure on those countries. And the reason that I think that's really important is, if we look to history, what's happened in situations like this in the past, there used to be a thriving international trade in anti-personnel landmines. And you had dozens of countries buying them and deploying them, using them. What happened was, in the 1990s, we signed a treaty that said, actually, we categorically reject these weapons. They're inhumane and indiscriminate, and so we're going to declare that they are illegal. And a lot of the largest countries that actually make landmines and sell them, Russia, China, United States, they didn't sign that treaty. And so critics said, well, this treaty doesn't mean anything. These major countries that are making the landmines, they're not even going to sign it. And what you actually see is that in years since then, there's been this absolutely vertiginous drop in the sale and use of landmines, because all of the other countries who weren't actually the producers but who were involved in the development and use of those weapons just stopped buying them, because there was this international norm that just rejected any legitimate use of those weapons. And so the challenge now is for countries like New Zealand, who, obviously this year is the 30th anniversary of New Zealand's nuclear-free law, so obviously this is not a new position for New Zealand, but it's now up to countries like New Zealand and others to take this treaty and put it to its full use and use that to put pressure on other countries to say it's no longer legitimate to threaten the annihilation of entire civilian populations because you claim that makes you safe. There is no excuse for doing that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.